We are back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. Again, thank you, Frank Cincotta of MTP Software, our host who built us this studio. Thank you to Chris Gerald, Alex Cooper, our executive producers. Join us on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, you name it, we're on it. We promote it. YouTube, too. We love promoting entrepreneurship. And a returning guest, Jennifer Williams Buckley, founder of Vinalytics.
Correct.
Yeah, Vinalytics. Wow. That's quite a name. Tell us, you know, everything for you is about wine and technology, correct?
Correct.
So what's up? What's the trend?
What's up? Well, we think that the use of technology to make wine more transparent is something that the consumer wants, likes, needs a little bit more of. We're certainly seeing companies in the market that are doing that now. Drizzly, Drink, Minibar, you know, these are all applications that you can be sitting on your sofa and your booze will arrive at your door within 2 hours. But the reality is that wine is something that deserves a little bit more attention and maybe a little bit more transparency. And we would really like for the consumer to be able to have an educational process for the wine that in our mind matters. So I think it's really important that there is a market for the $8 to $10 wine. And you know, the whole wine market is about $200 billion. But the wine experience, where wine actually matters in terms of where it's been produced, how it's been produced, the vintage, where it comes from, and the amount of cultural impact that goes into those wines, we'd like the consumer to just know a little bit more and to know the differences.
Well, the purchase of wine, and I might be wrong, can be more encyclopedic than the purchase of vodka or scotch.
One would think so, although, you know, as you look at the spirits wall and you think, wow, is Grey Goose really that different than...
Well, it's gotten more complicated.
It's gotten much more complicated because
that's
branding.
There are hundreds of thousands of wines.
Yes.
Maybe millions, but hundreds of thousands available in this country. And I usually the categories of, let's say, vodka, yes, there could be 100 vodkas. That's not hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
And the way they're made is so complicated. It's really, it's chemistry,
yep.
Wine. It's much more of a chemical process, correct?
Well, not so, well.
For the wine aficionados.
For the wine aficionados. So, yes, you're right. The number of SKUs of wine is actually the largest in the consumer market. Second only, first only in front of T-shirts. So
T-shirts
are the second largest SKU, right? And so how do you actually differentiate the wines and how do you actually educate? Mostly it's done by the label. And consumers may or may not know that there are actually only 5 companies, at least in the U.S., that control almost 90% of the wines that get into the shops. So that means that it's a huge oligopoly, and it's going to only be run by certain companies, and they're going to arrive in front of the consumer, and how are you going to decide? So we'd like to make the engagement with wine easier for the consumer. Quickly to know what a wine's worth, where it's from, when you should be drinking it, and how you can find it, and make that very easy and accessible and uncomplicated. But we're really focused on the fine wine space. And we want to be focused on the fine wine space because nobody really is focused.
More thought in the fine wine space.
A lot more thought, and it gives you a relative benchmark, right? If you're going to drink a $50 Bordeaux from the 2009 vintage, and you're going to suddenly understand what Cabernet Merlot and Cabernet Franc all taste like and what that means relative to a Cabernet Sauvignon for $15 from Napa, we want to establish that benchmark. Why does that wine cost $50? Why does that wine cost $17? And we want people to have those experiences and be able to allocate a little bit of capital to that space and then be able to compare the two. And then we really want to help the consumer and the producer and the consumer and the retailer find each other efficiently. Because right now it's very difficult for retailers to move higher end wine without a really high hand sell. So if we can bring that consumer to the retailer and to the producer in a very efficient platform, then that's terrific. With a lot less thought, but also giving the support behind it with the content.
So how do you make your revenue to stay viable?
So our revenue right now is a software as a service model. We've actually started Vinalytics to take on what is basically the only incumbent in the market, which is called Seller Tracker, and that is an inventory management system. So we built Vinalytics to actively manage wine collections And our segments of customers are the wine collector, storage facilities, and then other advisors, so wealth managers, insurance companies, et cetera. And so by taking on inventory management, we charge price per bottle, and then we have an advisory fee on that, and it's broken out by the number of bottles that you have. So once the consumer is and the customer are on our platform, we know what you like to drink, how much you have, when you've drunk it, and that in that way, we can start to build a customized platform that says, oh, my guy just drank five bottles of Ducru Beaucailloux 2005 last night. He can now click on and say, oh, buy me more. So I can find him the retailer or find him directly the wines that we know he's already, in, quote unquote, invested in, both emotionally and financially. And we think that's a pretty powerful group. It's not hundreds of thousands of people, but it's enough to kind of move the dial in a way that we think will start to bring and expand the market as people start to move up from lower middle wines to higher wines because they want to have that experience.
So your target would be, could it be a vineyard? Could it be a distributor? Could it be a retailer or let's say a wine aficionado?
So our primary target are wine aficionados and retailers and direct. The distribution market is very complicated, particularly here in the United States because of our three-tiered system. But we feel
our
like
prohibition system.
Our prohibition system, our interesting system that we have here, where
it doesn't seem to want to change.
It doesn't seem to want to change, but that's how lobbyists in Washington works sometimes.
Right.
And so what we think the consumer, if the consumer actually knew more about why they can't find the wines that they want to find in certain markets, then that's a great opportunity for us to start to drive engagement and say, wait, I just drank this wine in New York. I want it in Massachusetts. I want it dropped at my door. How do I do that? I just drank this wine in Chicago. I'd like to buy it, but there's a retailer in Chicago that has it. And then there's a retailer, there's me in Massachusetts. How can I make that happen, right? And we feel like we're not doing a good enough job of educating the consumer on why that system is precluding them from getting the product that they want and deserve.
Do you have certain countries you like wines better from than others?
So I am, France is my number one. Bordeaux is my specialty, which you would expect. Having said that though, my favorite wines are really from the Northern Rhone, white Rhones.
Viognier. Sort of a Germany type of thing, isn't
it? No, I mean, they're you know, it's warmer down there, but it's right. Viognier, Marsanne, Roussanne. So they tend to be fuller bodied whites with a lot of complexity. And the geography just allows them to be very, very unique and distinct.
You like white or red?
I'm very agnostic, impartial. Whichever works at any given time. And I like to have, you know, a little bit of white and a little bit of red. I don't want to like...
You mix?
Leave anybody out. No, start with white, move on to red.
I just told a client to do that at night so she could sleep better.
So, okay, well, that's also an option. But the other thing is, you know, almost all wine is released to drink. The vast majority is released to drink. And we really encourage people to spend time trying to find older vintages. So, you know, 5 years, 6 years, seven, 20 years out. If you can have that experience and the wine is, evolving in the bottle, that's a very rare experience for people. And that's really what great wine is intended to do. And that's really a lifestyle opportunity and a once-in-a-lifetime chance. So that's what we really want to build as well.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. We're having a lot of fun.
Really?
We're having a lot of fun. Yeah.
That's great. If somebody wants to find you, how would they do that?
So we are at www.vinalytics.com. Mm-hmm. You can find us there. Feel free to email me at jwb@vinalytics.com. And we're happy to have a conversation anytime. We love to meet new people and new wines and talk all that is good and great about wine and what it does for people's lives.
I can't believe you've shown up twice without any wine.
I know. It's bad. Next
it's
time
really
we're going to do this
just
like
a couple of glasses, a little wine.
Up.
We should have, you know,
yeah.
If you want to, I'll bring the wine.
No, I'll bring it. We can both bring it. We'll do like a little swap. It'd be
I'm
fun
not
to do a tasting.
With you.
It'd be fun
you
to
know,
do a tasting.
You know, there's certain people in life you know not to compete with.
No competition.
I'm not competing with you. I'm just going to follow the leader when it comes to you.
Okay, thanks.
But that's why you're in business. We want other people to follow you.
Yes, that would be terrific.
And I think people should follow you. And I'm going to send my buddy Howard after you.
Howard, right? I love it. I
Howard's
love your name.
The man.
I love it all.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages
Thank
on
you.
The One and Oldie, Radio Entrepreneurs.